You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Anfield Index Writers Podcast. I'm Tom Holmes, and joining me as ever is my lovely co-host Leanne Prescott. Leanne, how are you?
Yep, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, all good down mine. And we've got two fantastic guests this week. First up, we're going to be doing his article first. We've got Joe Norton. Joe, how are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, Tom. Always great to be on, especially after an emphatic win like last night.
Yeah, good to have you on again. And Ash Hebbs, Ash, you've been on a couple of times now, mate. How are you?
Yep, very well. Thank you, Tom. And great to be on again.
Yeah, great to have you both on. Great to have you both on. And as I said, we are going to start with you, Joe. And this week you wrote about rotation and how Liverpool, asking the question of whether Liverpool have got a big enough squad and whether or not Klopp can manage that squad well enough for Liverpool to compete both in the Premier League and in terms of Europe. So as in looking at whether Liverpool can realistically be looking at a good run in the Champions League and a top four finish. So Joe, I'll let you take it away with this article. What were you trying to get out with the article? What kind of thoughts are forming it? And just kind of hit us with the core messages of the article and what you really wanted to get at when you were writing it.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Tom. So basically the article was sort of based around two points, really. First of all, obviously we've got a really busy Christmas period coming up, so rotation is going to be key. Key for Klopp. We've not really seen him rotate that much, especially last season. He had his sort of favoured starting 11 and didn't really waver from that unless he really had to. Whereas this season, with Champions League football and obviously FA Cup, it's going to have to be different. And we've seen him make changes over the last couple of weeks: Chelsea, Sevilla, Stoke, and then again at Brighton. So I thought it was interesting just to have a look at see how he's going to do that, because he's sort of been questioned in the past about how his teams perform when he doesn't have his ideal starting 11. So I thought that was an interesting point to explore. And obviously, secondly, in January, we've got the FA Cup starting, and in February, we've got the Champions League. So whether he can rotate his squad effectively so it can be competitive in all competitions, but obviously a club like Liverpool has to be. I'll be honest, when I first started writing the article, I was quite sceptical of Klopp, because of the changes he'd made against Sevilla, or hadn't made against Sevilla, it was more my point, and then had made a sea of changes against Chelsea, and I thought he could have perhaps managed the squad better against Chelsea. We didn't see Firmino or Mane, so two of your front three were missing for such a big game. So I thought he could maybe have rotated his squad better, where maybe we would have only seen one against. One rest against Sevilla, one rest against Chelsea. So basically, I was just sort of looking into that. But as we've seen over the last couple of games, it does look as though Klopp is getting better at his rotation. At the end of the day, you're judged on your successes on the pitch, and we're playing really well at the minute. And it looks as though Klopp is managing the squad well. So I think he deserves a bit of credit, and certainly it put a bit of doubt on my mind when I was writing the article that maybe he's a lot better at rotation than we're giving him credit for.
Yeah, I mean, I guess to an extent the proof is in the pudding, and we haven't seen any major injuries yet this season. Lallana withstanding, because obviously he was injured before the season even started. So Ash, what were your thoughts on the article, and what were your thoughts on Klopp's rotation policy over the last few weeks? Do you think Liverpool have a big enough squad to manage to have a successful rotational policy, or do you think that Klopp is rotating as well as he can, but it might not be enough?
Yeah, I think it was a good article, certainly a timely one, in light of, you know, we're in the midst of a really busy period now, this Christmas schedule. And I think Klopp's been bitten in the last couple of seasons, you know, through, I think, more so a lack of squad depth in the past. I think he's certainly got a bigger squad now and a lot more options, both tactically, as we've seen. So he's able to not just bring in new players, but also tweak the system as appropriate to bring out the best in the players available. Not quite there yet. I think it's way too early to tell how well he's doing, but I think Joe's comments, or concerns, I should say, you know, are quite... there's a good basis for that. I know Simon Brundish was having kittens a few weeks back in terms of Klopp's lack of rotation on the Under Pressure podcast. So I think certainly criticism's well made, but it seems as if Klopp is, you know, understanding that this Premier League, it's a whole different animal to what he was used to in Germany, and you really need a more of a horses for courses approach to the English game. I mean, certain recent comments of his actually seem to indicate a bit of caution. You can see he's a bit cautious. He still feels, you know, maybe we're lacking in depth in certain areas of the squad, although it's a stronger squad overall. Maybe in certain areas, like, you know, right back, we discussed in the last pod with Gomez and Trent there, you know, young lads, you know, exceeding by far, far and away the number of minutes or competitive minutes they played last season. So things like right back, with Klein's longer-term injury, you know, that's maybe a slight cause for concern. And I think Klopp recognises that a number of players are clearly fatigued, you know, and he's commented on that. But he's rotating, still seems slightly reactive, but big improvement on last season, you know, and I think if he manages to get through this Christmas period well, then, you know, I think we're in excellent shape, you know, for the rest of the season, because if he can manage this period, and then once he, obviously we've got Champions League as well, so that's added game time, less training time on the pitch, on the training pitch. But certainly I think he's got the variety in terms of the squad now that he can, you know, front four, for example, front Fab Four. Last season, you know, after the AFCON, Mane got injured and the whole team struggled. Now Mane's not in the team. You know, we've got Salah, we've got Firmino playing out of his skin. You've got Phil Coutinho hitting new levels all the time as he seeks his big move. So I think, you know, we can take certain key components out of the team, and we've got other players that can step in, and we've got Oxlade-Chamberlain, obviously, and a few others. So no, I think so far so good. I think Klopp's still to be tested, and I think I'm really hoping, you know, touch wood, that we can keep our key players fit through this period, because it's a long slog, this one. But if we get through it, I think, you know, things looking good moving forward.
Okay, so I'm going to go to you, Nalian, on this one. Do you think Klopp does have a deep enough squad that wholesale rotation is possible? I mean, we have seen Klopp can be quite reluctant to rotate certain players. Mo Salah is a big one. Roberto Firmino is another. They've both played a lot of minutes. Matic, centre-back, is one he doesn't seem to want to rotate. Moreno at left-back. So do you think Klopp does have a deep enough squad to rotate as well as he'd like? Or do you still think it's a case that Klopp is having to manage certain players through more minutes than he maybe would like?
Well, I think we've got a decent enough squad in terms of rotation. You've got people like Grujic, Woodburn, Ajari, Solanke. We haven't really seen any of them that much this season. And then you've got Robertson and stuff. So you've got a lot of different options there. I expect that they'll all come into the fold a lot more. Then you've got Sturridge. You've got a tweak of system as well. And I think that's really important, because we've seen a number of positions being taken up. So Sturridge is a good example. He thrives in a diamond. We can look to give him that bit of support like we saw last season against West Ham. So that gives us a different option, and that helps in terms of personnel and rotation, because people fit the system, as said in the article. So you've got the 4-3-3, you've got the 4-2-2-2, you've got the 4-5-1, if we want to go a bit more defensive. So I think players like Grujic and Woodburn they will come into it a lot more, and that's where you'll also see Oxlade-Chamberlain. That's why he was bought this summer, because of his versatility, and we can use him in rotating. So I think he does have a big enough squad. As Ash said, this is the time that we'll really see if Klopp passed the test, because at the moment it's been a relatively low-key fixture list. Yes, it's a lot more rigorous than last season, but if you're looking at the next couple of weeks, that's really where things will start to get busy for Klopp and a number of teams. So I think we've got enough. I hope to see, as I said, I hope to see Woodburn and players come into it. And if you look at the amount of players we're talking about here that we haven't seen much of, there's no reason why we can't manage, Europe and the Premier League and the FA Cup now as well.
OK, so Joe, I want to go back to a more long term look at this, because I do think there's some important points made about managing the squad, to making sure nobody picks up an injury over the next few weeks. But looking at long term fatigue, and looking at, say, we're coming into March, we're coming into April, we're still in the Champions League, we're still challenging for top four. Do you think Klopp has a deep enough squad that the fatigue, the long term fatigue of players like Salah and Firmino, who have already racked up over 20 appearances, already racked up over 1700 minutes, do you think we've got enough depth in the squad to cope with a longer term fatigue, not just necessarily rotating players to make sure that nobody's playing more than two games in a week, for example, but making sure that come March, April, May, there's still legs in our key players?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's an interesting point. I think everyone's main concern is probably in defence, as we've mentioned. Obviously, Klein's injury has made it a bit difficult at right back. We've got Gomez and Alexander-Arnold, particularly Gomez, who's played a lot of minutes compared to what he has done over the last sort of 3 or 4 years, going back into his youth career. So that's definitely a big concern. And also at centre half, we've seen Matip often tends to get injuries. So does Lovren. And we haven't got a lot of depth at centre back. And obviously, you'd perhaps at the start of the season relying on centre back on Gomez, to perhaps fill in at centre back maybe for an FA Cup game like we saw last season. But with him playing a lot of game time at right back, then that probably is going to be difficult, because you're going to have to rest him. So my main concern would probably be in defence. I think up front we've probably got enough. Obviously, you mentioned Firmino's played a lot of minutes, but Sturridge can come in, and Solanke. It looks as though Klopp's got a lot more belief and trust in Solanke now. Obviously, we saw him making his first Premier League start away at Stoke, so I think he's trusting him a lot more. So sort of up front, I think we're okay. Out wide's an interesting one. Salah has played a lot of minutes, but if Ox does carry on with the form that he's shown, then I don't see why he can't be a suitable replacement for Salah. Obviously, he's never going to be anywhere near as effective as Salah is. It's difficult for anyone to be that. He's been magnificent this season. But I do think in the long term, Klopp has got enough options, to be honest. I think something I was thinking about over the last couple of days, that perhaps we've actually underestimated how good of a squad we do have. When Klopp's obviously gone with his favoured 11 over the last year or so, we've sort of questioned whether we do have the quality. But it looks as though maybe a combination of Klopp realising how best he needs to rotate this team. And I think Leanne's made a brilliant point about, when we look at rotation, it's not just about the players, it's about the formation. Because when you are making changes, I think I mentioned it also, the key thing is to try and get as many players as possible. It seems a basic thing to say, but it doesn't always happen, to get as many people as possible playing in their best positions. Because when you do change sort of three or four players out of starting lineup, you do lose that little bit of fluidity in that team cohesion that's built up through patterns of play and training and work on the training ground. So when you do make changes, it is key that you've got players playing in their best position. I think Klopp switching between sort of this 4-3-3 and 4-2-2-2 really has allowed the players to play in their favourite position. So I think, apart from maybe defence, which is my main concern, we do definitely have enough strength and depth going forward into the long run to be okay heading into the stretch at the end of the season.
Okay, so I'll move back to you on this one, Ash.
Okay.
Moving away from whether or not Liverpool have the depth, do you trust Klopp to use it? Because I've done a quick bit of maths. So far, there's been 2,160 minutes up for grabs this season, and we've got 8 players that have played more than two-thirds of the minutes. Now, excluding Mignolet because he's the goalkeeper, you've got 7 players there that have played two-thirds of the minutes. That's quite a worryingly high amount. So do we think Klopp has enough trust in certain players to do the business, or do we think that at the moment he does need to start trusting some of them more? And I mean, it's not any particular position. Those seven players are from all over the pitch. Yeah. Chan Henderson, Wijnaldum, Matip, Moreno, Firmino, Salah. So that's a lot of players picking up a lot of minutes. And I mean, we talk about these players like Solanke, like Robertson, like Sturridge, like Oxlade-Chamberlain. None of them have played more than a third of the minutes. So that, you know, it's not just about having those players. Is Klopp willing to use them? And do you think that's something we'll start to see? Because it's all well and good Klopp doing it for a couple of games over the Christmas period. Do we trust Klopp over the course of an entire season to manage his squad well enough?
Sure. Yes, yeah, it's a very good question, actually. I think I do trust Klopp. I think at the end of the day, I mean, you know, we only get limited knowledge as fans. And, you know, there is quite a bit of information in the public domain. But even then, I think the danger with these things is a little bit of knowledge can be a bad thing because we don't see a full picture. And Klopp and his team are the only ones that see the, you know, truly see the whole picture. I think that the important thing to note in terms of the way Klopp operates, I think his system is so, you know, it's so specific in terms of its requirements and the kind of team cohesion, as Joe was referring to. And I think in many respects, he really needs to play his best players as much as possible, especially with our bad start to the season, or our kind of average start, I would say. We didn't quite get the results that our performances deserved. I think had we started the season a bit more strongly, he would have been able to maybe introduce the likes of Oxlade-Chamberlain a bit more easier. But I think when the pressure's on for results, I think every manager just has to simply go with the strongest 11 they can put out there. I think now some of the benefit that we're seeing is the attacking is finally clicking. You know, we're ruthless in attack now, you know, counter-attacking with devastating quality. We saw that last few games, you know, some of the counter-attacking play and the little triggers for launching the counter-attacks. It's superb, you know, world-class attacking ability at times. So I think while he's possibly overused certain players, I think we're now seeing the benefits of why he's tried to build that cohesion with the likes of, you know, Salah being new and injuries. You know, the midfield, we've had a lot of injuries. Henderson's, you know, I'm not convinced he's ever been fully fit. He always seems to be carrying a bit of a niggle with his long-term heel injury. Emre Can's been in and out, you know, with injuries and things like that. So I think in terms of building cohesion and that understanding and that kind of fluidity in the system, you need to kind of have a core group of players, and we can't be missing a certain core or too many of the core players. But now I think, I mean, I'd never say we've relaxed, but I think we can start to relax a bit more because we're seeing that, you know, the quality is really shining through now. And even despite the squad, you know, the lack of squad depth in terms of defence, you know, everybody knows, Klopp included, knows that these defenders aren't good enough. He wasn't able to do something in the summer, but at the end of the day, he's got to work with what he's got. So I think we're seeing he's doing the best he possibly can with the defenders he's got. Lovren and Moreno deserve a lot of credit. You know, they got a lot of stick and have been written off in various quarters. And I'm not their biggest fans, to be honest, but you got to recognise that they do come back. You know, they've got great character. They're coming back, and after high-profile mistakes, they're coming in and doing a good job, as we've seen the last couple of games. So I think, you know, especially, you know, also looking at Oxlade-Chamberlain as another example, you know, Klopp's building him up steadily. It's a very different system to what Oxlade-Chamberlain was used to at Arsenal. I think the physical requirements at Liverpool are far superior to what Wenger operates at Arsenal. You know, it's a very possession-based game there, whereas Klopp's game is based on high intensity, lots of running, lots of pressing. It's far more physically grueling, I think, than a system that Arsenal employ. So someone like the Ox, he needs a bit of time to acclimatise to Klopp's methods, what they're doing in training, and understanding, you know, what he has to do and when, and how to build up different relationships with players. So I think we're starting to see Klopp, you know, he's recognising that, yes, I do have a good squad available. And he's also been willing to compromise, I think, which is why we're now seeing the kind of quality of the squad someone mentioned earlier. We're starting to see just how good the squad is, because I think he's kind of recognised that total football, it's all good and well as a long-term vision, but in the interim, he has to recognise that, you know, I'm not quite there yet in terms of my squad build, so I've got to bring out the best of the players available to me now. So, you know, Oxlade-Chamberlain, he doesn't really fit into a 4-3-3, so let's use him in a 4-4-2, for example, you know. And what I like about what Klopp's done also tactically is because he's using these new formations, it's giving him an advantage because, you know, 4-4-2, very kind of archaic, old-fashioned formation in theory. But because everyone else isn't playing 4-4-2 anymore, it gives us a tactical advantage now and a new problem for the opposition when we're using these new shapes. So while it's not perfect, it's helping, you know, people like Oxlade-Chamberlain do what they do best, you know, higher pressing, high intensity, driving runs. So I think, yeah, I think I've been impressed with Klopp, actually. I was losing a bit of faith with him. But I think now, after recent results, just the sheer quality of our attacking play as well. You know, we're not dominating games, but we're using the system to full effect in the sense that, you know, we don't necessarily need to win games with the ball. We have, you know, certain patterns of play which Klopp excels at in terms of drawing out the opposition, maybe sitting back a bit, you know, allowing them to play and kind of lulling them into a false sense of security. And then we're just absolutely destroying them on the counter-attack. So, you know, fair play, credit where it's due to Klopp. And, yeah, I do trust him going forward. You know, he seems to, things seem to be coming together quite nicely.
I mean, it's interesting you mentioned that point about dominating, because that's something I noticed watching the game against, watching the Spartak game. We didn't have any, we shaded possession, we shaded shots, and yeah, we somehow ended up, you know, not somehow, but we were like 7-0 winners. So, Liam, I want to ask you a slightly different question here, because one thing that's mentioned in the article is sort of the worry about how Klopp rotated after the Sevilla-Chelsea game. So I want to look at that and look at hypothetical scenario where we're coming into, say, February. We've got Premier League, Champions League, Premier League, Champions League, Premier League. How do we rotate and prioritise this squad if we've got a big Premier League game that needs to be balanced with Champions League games either side? You know, do we have to, you know, do we have to rotate six players out for the Premier League? Can we mix it up? Can we afford not to play that best front four in every game? Do we have enough quality coming in that we can play three of them twice or something like that? You know, how can we work it so that we're going to have enough talent on the field at all times if we've got another severe Chelsea situation? Because there's no denying that Klopp maybe could have handled that slightly better, and ultimately we didn't end up winning either game. So do you think there's a way that can we got enough quality to balance that? Or how would you be looking at a hypothetical scenario like that where we've got big games coming thick and fast? Because it's easy to rotate at the moment when a lot of our games aren't particularly difficult ones. How do we rotate when we've got a lot of big games in a short space of time?
I think for me, from a rotation point of view, I wouldn't necessarily be looking to switch up six of your starting 11. I think that would be quite a big jolt to the momentum, because you're asking, especially if the system doesn't change, as mentioned in the article, you're asking players to potentially play out of position or play in a system that doesn't really suit them. So I think that would be a bit of a jolt. What I would do, if possible, and I take your point that at the moment we're able to be a bit different because they're not the hardest games, but maybe look to rest one or two of them. So maybe you give Salah a rest and you bring in Chamberlain, you give Firmino a rest and you bring in Solanke or Sturridge, and you do it like that. You ease in the rotation rather than one game, eight of you off the pitch, you're being replaced, because then, you know, as I said, it jolts momentum and everything would go a bit flat and you'd lose the impact of the fluidity of the system and everything like that. So I think Klopp's got to be careful that doesn't happen. So we've got to ease it in. The point, though, is he's also got to trust, I think it was made earlier, he's got to trust the people who are waiting in the wings. So if we're away in the Champions League and then 3 days later we've got Chelsea or something, you need to have players on that pitch that you know you can go away from home in Europe and you can grind out a result. You need to have that belief and that trust in your rotational options. So I think Klopp has got that. I hope he's got that. But from my point of view, I wouldn't be looking at, you know, one game where you say, okay, we're just going to sort of do all the rotation now. You've got to feed it in slowly, week by week, game by game.
Is there not a counterfoil to that, though? That if, you know, it's easy to say go to, you know, Klopp has to trust these players to go to a tough away game and get a result. If we've got to go to the Nou Camp, we can't trust the, like, you know, we can't send Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, Daniel Sturridge, Marco Grealish, you know, to go to the Nou Camp. That's just not going to work.
Of course
there's
not.
There's got to be a point
that's the sort
we're talking about. We've got games like we've got games where we are going to have to trust
players. I'm saying, you if you go to the Nou Camp and it's an away fixture and you've got Chelsea 3 days later, you don't
have an 11 with Grujic, Wood, Bernajari, Solanke, Chamberlain and Sturridge. You don't do that. You have your basis of your same team, but you take out maybe Firmino for Sturridge. You go a bit more defensive. It comes back to changing the system as well, because if you're trying to grind out a result, you're not going to play necessarily 4-3-3. So then you bring in the likes of James Milner to help shore up the midfield, or to do a job at left back like he did last season. So again, it comes back to the change of system. But I take your point completely, and that's actually the point that I'm trying to make. You don't throw them all in a massive game, let's say against Barcelona away from home. You have your core, but you feed in the rotation.
My point is just that, can you rotate any of them? I mean, if we've got a game, you know, is there any, can we afford to make any changes to our starting 11 for a game that big, is the question that I'm effectively trying to get at there. You know, can you afford to, say, play any of Oxlade Chamberlain, Sturridge? Can we afford to drop Firmino for Sturridge at the Nou Camp? Can we afford to drop Mane for Oxlade Chamberlain, et cetera, et cetera? Is kind of the question that I'm trying to ask.
I think so. I think if we can't, then it's all well and good. You can have the best 11 ever, but the whole point in football is you have a team that's greater than the 11 players on the pitch. It's the people waiting in the wings that have an equal responsibility. Yes, it would be a drop off in quality, but you know, we're talking about Liverpool being back in the Champions League, Liverpool, the FA Cup. Obviously, we've got Everton, and actually, I think that may influence rotation in another aspect, because it's a bigger game than it otherwise might have been, because it's a derby. But if you don't have players that you can bring on, or players that you can rotate in and do a job, then I think that that's actually quite worrying. So yes, rotation's always going to involve a drop off in quality in terms of what we have at our disposal at the moment. There's going to be, say, if you're bringing in Chamberlain for Salah, Chamberlain isn't Mohamed Salah. No one's asking him to be, but you've still got to do it. You can't play Mohamed Salah for every single game. That's not how football works. It's bigger than the 11 players that start a game.
I mean, I completely agree. That's just kind of the question I'm trying to get at. Do we have a squad good enough that we can afford to play, you know, that we can manage those sorts of big games in the couple of weeks? I think that's kind of the core of the question. I'll let you have the last word on this, Joe. As much as I think Liverpool have got a big enough squad and a good enough squad to deal with the general rotation of the Premier League and the Champions League, do we have, in your opinion, a squad that has enough quality that we can compete seriously with the top teams on multiple fronts?
At the minute, I think the answer's got to be no, hasn't it? We're talking about a different level when you're talking about the likes of Barcelona, right? They're having Barcelona, Real Madrid, PSG, they're sort of on a different level. So if we're comparing ourselves to them, probably put City in the mix as well, then you'd probably have to say no, we're not quite at that level. At that level yet to consistently compete with them. But I think that's a very, very tough if you're at that level, then you're very close to being one of the top teams in Europe, and I don't quite think we're there yet. But I think under Klopp and giving him another two transfer windows, January and then in the summer, I think we'll be there or thereabouts. As I mentioned, we're probably only two centre backs, maybe another centre mid, and maybe another top quality winger away from being at that level, in my opinion. So at the minute, I don't think we quite do have the level to compete with the likes of Barcelona, Real Madrid, PSG, when you are rotating a few players out of our best 11. But certainly going forward and giving Klopp time, I think him and his staff have proven that they are getting transfers right. So given the next two transfer windows, and I honestly do believe we'll be there or thereabouts, and closely competing with the likes of Barcelona and Real Madrid, both on domestic and European levels.
Okay, yeah, I completely agree with all of that. I think some really interesting points raised in that discussion. I think some really, really good questions from everyone there. So we'll move on to talk about Ash's article, which is called Tactical Versatility, Naby Keita and a Sign of Things to Come. So I think Ash has written on it. It's quite a broad article. There's quite a lot of interesting topics at bay here. So I'll let Ash introduce it. There's some really good stuff about, as I said, tactical versatility, about Naby Keita coming in, about, I think there's a really interesting discussion at the heart of it that me and Ash had a couple of, I think it was last week, just talking about balancing that short middle term. I think I said something like, I don't really care if our midfield isn't good enough because we've got the best young midfielder in Europe coming in next summer. And Ash kind of didn't necessarily agree with me on that one. So I'll let you jump in on this, Ash, and I'll let you talk about your article and just give us a bit of a foray into your thoughts and you know, what you were thinking when you started writing the article.
Sure. I think for me, it was that kind of short-term versus long-term, Tom. You know, when following a disappointing summer title challenge dying quite early on in the season, I think, you know, it's very easy as a fan. You know, as fans, we're all desperately, you know, desperately waiting for Liverpool to become a kind of regular title contender. And every season you'd think, OK, with a couple of these players brought in, you know, we brought Mo Salah in, you think, OK, maybe we can, even if we're not perfect defensively, maybe we can just improve our attack. You know, I think our attack has improved, actually. And we're maybe, hopefully, seeing a sign of things to come. But, you know, we're just desperate to be involved in the title talk, really, being in the conversation come the run-in. So I think there's a lot of frustration bubbling around, and this frustration really comes to the fore when we start struggling or we're not quite getting the results we deserve. It seems like Klopp, you know, he's starting slowly to turn this season around, and, you know, the team seems to be hitting form at just the right time in many ways. You know, the ability to just grind out results even when you're not playing 100%. I think the Brighton result was testament to that. You know, we won 5-1. Maybe got a bit lucky in certain phases. You know, I'm thinking of the second or the third goal, but there was the I can't remember which goal it, which moment it was now, but I think it might have been the third goal, where literally Mignolet makes a superb stop, and then we go down the other end and score. And, you know, it could have easily been quite different had they scored. Also, looking back to Stoke, you know, Mignolet could have been sent off. We were 2-0 up, I think, then at that point. And again, you know, Mignolet goes off, could be another story. But no, thankfully, you know, we've got some of the luck that we've been lacking early on in the season. And, you know, all things considered, when you look at where we are now, 2 points worse off than at this same stage last season in the league, you know, despite a difficult fixture schedule to start, plus the new challenge of Champions League football. I know people speak as if, you know, Liverpool should be challenging for the title. But this team, you know, really ideally going forward, this team will be not just a domestic contender, but a Champions League contender as well. And Klopp's never managed, you know, a league challenge plus Champions League campaign as well. And I think a Champions League campaign is far more demanding than a Europa League campaign, you know, just because of the unique pressures that come with that and the quality of opposition. So I think, you know, this stage last season, we were talking about a title challenge. We're 2 points worse off this time around. And I think, you know, some of the doom and gloom just is simply because, you know, Man City's outstanding and unprecedented form, really. You know, that's clouding some views on where we are. And I think now, since we've had a run of easier fixtures, and I mean, even the easy fixtures, you know, they've never been a given that we'll win those games. We're now beating certain teams comfortably. And I think it's just all great to see because, you know, it just lifts the feel-good factor around the club and the fans get on board, and bit of pressure off Klopp, bit of pressure off the players. They're starting to express themselves a bit more. And that's great to see. And the thing is, we spoke about this earlier. We were just discussing it. But, you know, this squad isn't quite ready now to compete both domestically and Champions League terms. You know, it's still a work in progress. And I think, you know, it's worth bearing that in mind. We don't have the defence to really challenge in the Champions League. I seriously don't think we're going to beat a top team once we meet one, you know, with this defence and this lack of ability to control the ball and control the game when we come under pressure. We just don't have the players at the moment to do that. So we are where we are. And, you know, it's things like, you know, the Wembley performance against Spurs, the Sevilla comeback. These are quite damaging performances now, because while we're trying to see progress and Klopp's trying to, you know, show that this team's slowly improving, I think some of the inherent weaknesses are still there. And every time those weaknesses get exposed, it will affect confidence and it will bring criticism, and it will bring, you know, people start talking about, OK, we didn't sign VVD, we didn't sign Naby Keita when we should have done. It's a missed opportunity. And I think that's fair to some extent. But I think Klopp's shown that we are, you know, we have been affected by some of those performances. And he's trying to just, you know, tone the pressing a bit, saving energy, taking a bit of a more conservative approach. You know, even against Southampton, Huddersfield, we won those games comfortably, but we took a bit more of a balanced approach, just something that will suit the current players and maybe not expect too much of them. And we're kind of grinding results, which is good. And I think, you know, we've shown an ability to respond in adversity. So these are all terms, you know, signs of progress in terms of tactics, the development of the attacking players, I spoke about Lovren, players like Dejan Lovren, Alberto Moreno. You know, they've taken a lot of stick, but they're showing that they can come back and do a job under specific tactical, you know, frameworks and instructions. So still work to do, work in progress, but Klopp, I think, is doing as much as you can probably be expected from this group of players, and, you know, some interesting tactical tweaks that he's doing, which is bringing out, as I said earlier, you know, bringing out the best of the wider squad. But I think we just got to remember the long game, you know, and we can only really judge Klopp once he's had the time to really address the existing flaws. He knows there's, you know, there's flaws there. We've spoken about VVD. Even if it's not VVD, I think he'll recognise that he does need to bring in some fresh blood at some point to really bolster this defence and bring a bit more confidence. And then the arrival of Naby Keita, well, you know, it's not enough superlatives to describe this guy. It's a massive opportunity for the club. Really exciting. And I think, you know, it gives Klopp the real chance now to remould what's been for a very long time a very average midfield. And Keita coming in now. And the, you know, we can lose Coutinho possibly and also Chan. But at the same time, while that's weakening the squad, we've also got an opportunity maybe to bring in certain players that better fit Klopp's style and bring in the right balance, you know, in certain areas. So I think, you know, we're kind of on the verge of Naby Keita as one step or one piece of what could be a world-class midfield, whereas now I would say in global terms it's quite an average midfield. So it's all part of the evolution that sees us move from being a good team to a great one, hopefully over time. So that's kind of the thinking behind the article. It's much easier to talk about it. You can't cover all the points in the written pieces, but certainly I'm feeling good about things. If we can just get through this Christmas period, I think, you know, we can have a really good season. That's not to say we will win the league. The league's gone. I don't think we'll win the Champions League, but we can certainly see how far we can go. And that's probably best we can hope for, really.
Well, I mean, this isn't really a club that should be, at this stage, looking at any season that isn't winning the league or Champions League and saying that's a failure. I mean, that's just my opinion. I know other people don't agree. So, Joe, I want to focus on the Naby Keita question and how this ties in with the discussion of a tactical flexibility. So how do you see Keita slotting into our midfield in its newly revamped form? And do you think that the sign of the more flexible tactics that we've designed in recent weeks will fit Keita quite nicely? Or do you think that maybe it's a case of tweaking it again when he arrives?
Yeah, I definitely think, well, first of all, he's a brilliant player, isn't he? So I think put him in any position in the midfield and he'd do really well. I think the 4-2-2-2 formation fits him perfectly. I think he is a perfect fit for a two in midfield because he can do a bit of everything. Carney's, I was having a look at his statistics today, he's sort of up there in parallel to Lallana's sort of attacking performance. He had 1.5 shots. He's had 1.5 shots per game this season, 1.5 key passes, which is pretty much identical to Lallana last season. He averages the same amount of dribbles as Coutinho does this season, and he's miles ahead of sort of the likes of Chan and Wijnaldum when it comes to tackles and interceptions. So that just sort of demonstrates how good of a player he is. I think in a two-man midfield is perfectly, he would complement really well with sort of anyone of Chan, Wijnaldum or Henderson. I think he'd complement them really well. And also in a three-man midfield, I don't quite think he's too good to play as a number six. As silly as that sounds, I think he's got too much quality on the ball. His ability to drive forward, I think that's sort of maybe holding him back a little bit, playing in the number six. But I could definitely see him playing in sort of a number eight role, that box to box, getting up and down the pitch, being that creative force, as well as being a midfielder who sort of facilitates the play, sets the press, and really sort of gets about the opposition. So I think either formation, whether it's a 4-3-3 or a two-man midfield, I think he could do really well. I think he is a complete midfielder. So he sort of gives Klopp free rein once we do have him next season to sort of use him in any way he sees fit, because he is such a good player. So I don't necessarily think there's maybe perhaps a right way to use him. I think he's got a variety of different formations he could play Keita in, and I think he'd do brilliantly in all of them.
Yeah, I agree. Keita is just an absolutely phenomenal player. I just think he can do absolutely everything. So I want to look at the Brighton game. I want to look at the 3-4-3, 3-5-2, call it what you will. Leanne, do you see that being the sort of formation that's available to us with Keita in the midfield? This sort of not just looking at necessarily the two and the three midfield, but looking at a more defensive team where he can slot in and play various roles, more box-to-box role. And do you think, how important is it that we do bring in centre-backs so that when we are playing a back three, it's not with Gini Wijnaldum and Emre Can in it?
Yeah, I think the formation would suit Naby Keita down to the ground. It would, as you say, it would give him the freedom of expression in terms of attacking. And it would also utilise his defensive contribution, which Joe touched on earlier. So I could definitely see him in that type of formation. And hopefully that would get the best out of him at both ends of the pitch. In terms of defensively, of course, we don't want to be seeing Wijnaldum and Can at centre back. It was quite funny. It was quite amusing to see them there. And I quite liked Klopp's post-match reaction that said they were very surprised when I told them. But you're dead right. We need to get centre back to be able to work in this system, to utilise this system to its full degree with Naby Keita in that midfield next season. We've got to have stronger centre backs. We've got to have whether it be Van Dijk, as the article says, or whether it be someone else. They have to be authoritative, they have to be demanding, and they have to be a ball carrier, because there is a lot. That's why it worked for Wijnaldum and Can, as far as I'm concerned, because they had the ability to move with the ball, they had that freedom, they got forward well, and you need that. And that, to me, demonstrates the modern aspect of defending, touched on it in previous weeks with the fullbacks, but also now with the centre backs in a back three. I think it was Dejan Lovren for Salah against Spartak, but he played a lovely ball through to Salah to set up one of his chances. And for me, that demonstrates what you need out of a centre back in a back three in this type of formation. So hopefully we see that. Yeah, I mean, I would love to see Naby Keita in this type of system, and I'd love us to bring in a really good centre-back just to shore things up defensively, but it just gives so much freedom to everyone on that pitch.
Yeah, some really good points there, Leanne, really good points. And we'll go back to you, Ash. I want to focus a little bit more on the balancing of the short and medium-term expectations. And how important is it to you that we do balance that short and middle and long-term goals, that we don't look at, we don't just say, or that we do say something like, you know, Keita and Van Dijk are coming in, so why does it matter? How important to you, at least, is it that we focus on the long term, but also keeping our eyes on what's going on in front of us?
Yeah, I think you've got to. I think a lot of fans, naturally, it's just a natural human reaction. You know, the game is the most important thing, or the most recent game is the most important thing in our lives. We don't look beyond. Yes, we know the bigger picture. We don't have the funds and the finances to compete with the big boys. You know, we can't spend mega bucks on the kind of top level talent that our rivals are buying, because it's not just the outlay on the wages, it's on the transfer fee, it's the wages as well, and we potentially risk breaking the wage structure. So I think a lot of fans do recognise that there is a kind of, you know, where we stand in terms of our position versus our rivals. But I think our short term reactions are always governed really by the latest games, and that's what we invest our emotions into. But I think at the same time, we do need to recognise that we've got a manager on board here. You know, we've got a strategic guy, you know, a long-term thinker. He's never had to really deliver quickly, you know, because of the different levels of expectations in Germany, the clubs he's managed, Mainz and Dortmund. You know, he had the time. He had a bit of luxury, which he won't get in England, because, you know, the pressure and the media circus, you know, just creates this, you know, now mentality, you know, and everyone wants results yesterday. So I think Klopp has to balance that, really. He has to stick to his guns. You know, there is a long-term plan. It's to develop young potential, you know, get the homegrown players coming through, get the real top talent signed up early, integrate them into the kind of setup, you know, into the academy setup and so on. So that's the long game, and hopefully we'll start to reap the benefits of that over time. It's a difficult process, and it's kind of you know, it's a bit of a percentages game, really. You need to just kind of get as much talent as you can, and there'll be a set proportion of failures that you have to accept as part of the churn. But hopefully it should start to, if there's a good system in place, if there's continuity there, if there's belief in a kind of, I think it goes throughout the club, this whole strategy, it's got to be bottom up, you know, throughout the club. Everybody's got to be on the same page. I think if that happens, we'll start to see the benefits of what Klopp does, you know, in terms of really developing players, bringing out the best in them and turning them into world-class, you know, or players bordering world-class. At the same time, I think he has to reach certain targets in the short term. You know, if we miss out on Champions League this year, while we shouldn't expect necessarily to, given we've got five other rivals that can realistically finish in the top four position, it's not given that we're going to finish top four. But I think we absolutely have to finish top four this season, you know, even if it means sacking off the cups, you know, if it means keeping the squad fresh, we do need to hit certain milestones. And my expectations, as we've spoken about before, you know, for this season, the fact we didn't get Van Dijk, the fact we didn't get Keita, we weren't really taking the steps as a club to, we were trying to, but we didn't ultimately get the players that needed to, that we needed to give us the solidity to really push on for the league. So while we've got world-class attacking line, you know, there's still weaknesses there, and there are compromises that Klopp has to make on a game-to-game basis in terms of the tactics, in terms of the players that he can get on the field, you know, because we are limited. There is a limit to what we can achieve with this group of players. But Klopp's all about maximising that through training time. And that's why I'm so pleased, actually, with the recent performance, you know, because it's, you know, Klopp doesn't have the training time that he needs. He really excels when he's got quality time, spending, you know, working on patterns of play, working on pressing, all that sort of stuff in the week, you know. And last season we saw, before injuries hit us, we saw that we were doing, you know, we were flying at one point, you know, me. So I think he doesn't have that luxury this year, but he's just eking out the results, and that's a good sign. And for me, he's never won five competitive games in a row. We've never won more than five games under Klopp. And I think it feels like we could be on the verge of doing that. And if we can go on a 6-7 match winning run, and then that starts to give the players confidence, and then maybe if we can get maybe like a 10 game winning run, that would be massive for our season in terms of pushing us right up into the not into the title race. I think the title's gone, but you know, you just never know. If Man City slip up, which is feasible, you know, it could happen, they get a couple of key injuries, if we're just winning our games and doing what we have to do, meeting our end of the bargain, then you know, we could bridge that gap and at least make it a, you know, very respectable season, and even hopefully cause a few upsets in the Champions League. So it was a difficult start to the season for Klopp. But I think once again we're seeing, you know, this guy's quality. You know, he does have limitations. Every manager does. But he is really, I really truly believe he is getting the best out of these players. And I'm feeling reasonably positive right now. You know, if we can navigate this tricky fixture schedule and this fixture congestion, keep the key players fit. We've got good tactical options there just to get a result and really destroy some teams and expose them for, you know, there's some rubbish teams in the league, you know, let's face it. It's just about, I think what I really like about recent performances, we know we've got the attacking ability and we will create chances eventually. But what we're really showing in these recent games is that ability to really grind out, play ugly, you know, just being patient. And that's all coming with experience, you know, and this is what Klopp does. You know, he builds a system and he trusts his players and sometimes trusts them too much. But, you know, they need to make mistakes to improve and learn, you know, things like Seville, that setback, you know, the players will be hurting after that. You know, Klopp won't allow them to feel sorry for themselves. He'll be saying, look, boys, you know, next time we're in that position, we need to do things differently. You know, we need to be braver. He talks about keep playing football. Sometimes we stop playing. You know, we start panicking. And that's normal because, you know, the defence lets us down. And I think it affects the whole team and the whole team dynamic. But, you know, as we grow in confidence and grow in cohesion and get a bit of fluidity to our play, I think, you know, we should see these players evolve into a bit more, you know, bit more mentally tougher players. And then obviously as he adds to the squad, then, you know, we should get better and better. And I do have one slight concern that we potentially lose two of our best midfielders. You know, that's a massive blow if that happens in the summer. Losing both of them, that really weakens the squad. So we'll bring in Keita and another player, hopefully someone like Goretzka. But that's only really standing still. And for me, we've got to find a way to kind of, and this is where the short term is important. We've got to show to players that it's worth sticking around for this project. And I think even Phil, you know, let's face it, he probably will end up in Barcelona or Paris. But seeing the likes of Mohamed Salah, Firmino and Mane just performing out their skin, it's an exciting project to be part of. And I think that's a big selling point. You know, if we can just keep going, you know, and just keep getting goals and battering teams, you know, even if it's not pretty, I think, you know, it just sends a message to the rest of the world. You know, this is a team going places. So, let's get top four this season. Let's give a good account of ourselves in the Champions League and then go from there. And I think if we carry on performing well, then it gives us a better case to say, you know, Emre Can, we really need you. You're going to be an integral part of this setup going forward. You just never know. Even if we keep, you know, sell Coutinho, but if we can keep Can, for example, that'd be a massive plus for me.
Okay, yeah, I think there's some really good points in there. But I mean, a couple of things that stood out to me. First of all, when we're talking about balancing short and medium term, which is something that's very important at the moment, it's worth noting that we are 2 years into this now, so we are at a stage where the longer term plan is starting to reap the benefits on the short term anyway. So when you say, as you said, Klopp is starting to get the best out of these players,
through that training time. I think we've said before, Klopp is Klopp's a B grade tactician. He's not a great tactician. He's an okay tactician, but he's an A plus coach. He's a phenomenal coach. So we are starting to see Klopp really working together. I think another thing you said really set out to me was when you talked about how it's got to be a top to bottom rebuild, not rebuild, but a top to bottom attitude, top to bottom mentality. Everyone's got to be working on the same page. And you're starting to see that happening in terms of the transfers. You're starting to see Klopp saying, this is the type of player I need to plug a hole in my squad. We need someone that's quick, that's aggressive, that's going to score goals off the wing, to not just compliment Sadio Mane and not just do what Sadio Mane does, but offer something genuinely different at the same time. And that's why I think Salah was obviously the perfect signing from the summer. That's already proving to work dividends. Naby Keita plugs a giant hole in our midfield because he's exactly the sort of player Klopp likes, in that we have a problem in our midfield is that Klopp doesn't like defensive midfielders, doesn't want to use a genuine defensive midfielder, but he needs someone in there who can add a bit more steel, add a bit more bite, add a bit more tackling, because at the moment our midfield is too lightweight. So in Keita, he's got the best of both. He's got someone that isn't a natural defensive midfielder, isn't a great, not necessarily a DM, and on the ball, he'll offer everything Klopp wants from a player on the ball, but equally, he's a phenomenal tackler, and he really, really contributes to the defensive side of the game anyway. So that's two examples of Klopp looking at the type of player to fit perfectly into the system and philosophy that he's developing, and going that that's what I need. Van Dijk's another one where Klopp's saying, what's the biggest weakness of my defence at the moment? And then trying to fill a void with Van Dijk in that issue. So we're starting to see the club as a whole is starting to work around Klopp, starting to work with Klopp, starting to do what Klopp wants rather than Klopp having to almost lean into the skids a little bit. And I think Edwards is a good example of that. Edwards and Klopp clearly have a really, really good working relationship, to the point where something like a transfer committee or something like Klopp having the final say isn't a be-all and end-all. By the way, it's a conversation between people about the type of player that they want and the play and which individuals fit that pattern really well. And we're starting to see that really, really, really pay dividends. I completely agree. Champions League, if we can get it this season, is where we want to be looking. And if we can get that Champions League, then we can turn around and go, we've achieved goals this year, not necessarily the ones we wanted to, but we'll have achieved a good goal. I think top four, there's, you know, when was the last time Liverpool were in the Champions League back-to-back seasons? 2009, I think. So, you know, the best part of a decade. So back-to-back Champions League, you know, back-to-back Champions League isn't an achievement. Getting to the last 16 of the Champions League, we've not done that in nearly a decade either. That's an achievement. They might be smaller achievements than people would like, but as I've said before, we can't jump from not being good enough to being where we want to be. There are transitional phases, whether we like it or not. We can't just skip the whole of the transition because we say, you know, we've done our years in transition. We haven't done our years in transition because we didn't transition properly. So I completely agree with everything you said there, Ash. It's about that balance. And I think we're starting to see the squad reflect that balance a bit more. I think you're bang on in terms of the biggest issue is how much the outgoings affect the plan and how much the outgoings affect the balance of the squad. Because if we're losing two of our best central midfield players, only bringing in Keita, we are going to have to plug another big hole in the squad in terms of Coutinho. I'm not sure we're in a position where at the moment we can plug that Coutinho-sized hole. So that's something we do need to address. I think there's, lots of really, really good points there. Leanne and Joe, I'll let you both have a quick response to anything you want to pick out. So Joe, I'll let you go first, just kind of a quick, say maybe 5 minutes, just kind of a quick sort of summary of anything you wanted to address that's jumped out from mine and Ash's conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think it's great. Great conversation too. I think Ash has raised a lot of great points and I agree with him entirely. Obviously, it's a long-term project. We're not a club that's sort of like Man City. You can go and spend money on sort of eight great players and make this huge sweep and transition from not getting into the Champions League to potentially win it, competing to win it, and then again not getting into the top four of the league and then again competing to win it. So I don't think we're the type of club people have got to realise that we can at the minute just go out, spend a vast amount of money on top quality players and make a sweeping transition. I think people have got to realise that it is going to take time. Maybe it is taking longer than it should because Klopp is very particular about the players he wants. But I think it's clear for everyone to see, particularly this season and over the last couple of games, that Klopp really is starting to put his imprint onto the team. Klopp is someone who likes to develop players through training. And I think we are seeing the benefits of this. I think he's the perfect manager for us because he is the type of player who will work with players and improve them rather than just going and buying the best players and expecting them to deliver. So I think we've got the right man at the helm, and I honestly do believe that given time that we are gonna be a real force in both in both the league and the Champions League. So I think we are going in the right direction, and I think the point's bang on about if we do lose Chan and Coutinho, it's going to be crucial who we replace them with. It's probably going to end up as replacing two players with three to make sure that we're not standing still when we are progressing. Because if we do stand still, then in modern day football, we're going to go backwards. But like I said, I think we're in the right direction, and given Klopp more time, I think we will be where we all want to be, which is challenging in both Europe and domestic competitions.
Yeah, I agree as well with everything that's been said. I think that the key is that top four is this massive deal. It is a big thing to be focusing on for the season, because we've got ourselves back in the Champions League this year. We're out of the group stages now, and we've scored a record number of goals, I believe. So to have that this season is great, but we have to back it up. We have to ensure that we're there again next year. And that consistency is really important, both in terms of ensuring we keep our best players, like our Chans, like our Coutinhos, like our Salahs, but also in terms of this long-term vision that Klopp has for Liverpool and that we have for Liverpool. So I think the next few weeks will be really, really important in that sense, and it will give us indications of how the top four will look come the end of the season, because that's when, as we touched on earlier, teams have to rotate and they have to juggle a lot of games. There's so many things to contend with and to deal with all at once. So if we can get through that and we can keep up this momentum that we have at the moment, not get any injuries to key players, and just keep it going, keep it ticking over, then I think, you know, we're in for a reason, and everyone says, you know, we're on the right track. We're doing very well. We've got an attack that's really explosive at the moment. So if we can, as Ash said in the article, pick up a dominant centre-back and bring in Keita, then it's a good time to be a Liverpool fan, which is strange, because if you look back a couple of weeks ago when we lost, everyone was so down in the dumps, and now it's, you know, it's roles reversed. So we're doing really well at the moment, and hopefully we can keep up this momentum going into the Christmas period, and yeah, just keep fighting on both fronts, see what the Champions League brings us, and just keep going. And this long-term picture is looking quite rosy at the moment.
Okay, yeah, so great. I think we've pretty much covered everything we wanted to cover there. That's some really good stuff. Is there anything anyone wanted to jump in with before we go? Otherwise, I'll just jump straight into plugs. Joe, I'll let you plug first. Is there anything that you wanted to plug for us? Any articles you've got coming up next couple of days, or anything else?
Yeah, no. The article I've got coming up, I'm working on, it links well with what we've been talking about today. It's basically assessing, have we got a better squad than people actually think. We've talked a little bit about it today, but I definitely think it's an interesting avenue to explore, and people will enjoy reading about.
Okay, cool. Sounds really good. Ash, anything you've got coming up you want to plug?
Yeah, just got a couple of thoughts, Tom. Haven't got anything concrete lined up just yet, but got a few thoughts, and I'll probably write something on Emre Can and why I think, you know, we've got to try our best to keep him at some point. As I said earlier, you know, I think it's massively important that we fight to keep him and not lose him on a free. Just the only other plug is AI Pro. I'd recommend everyone check that out. I'm a big fan of the Mulby Pod, but there's a host of great stuff on there, something for everyone. So do check it out.
And Leanne, anything you want to plug?
Yes, so I've got an article on Dominic Solanke out at the moment and how he's giving Liverpool that something different. So we saw him against Stoke and I thought he performed really well, both in terms of his attribution, but also adding to this press and doing similar things to what Roberto Firmino does. So that was really good. And I've also got an article on Oxlade-Chamberlain and how the irrational criticism of him when he first joined has quietly gone, and how he's turning into a very, very good, useful asset for Liverpool. So hopefully he continues on that path and hopefully Liverpool continue on their path at the moment over a busy Christmas period.
Okay, cool. I've got a couple of things I want to plug. First of all, I'm writing a new post-match segment called basically the key stats. So, well, after every game, I'm just going to look at some of the key stats from the game that I think are really interesting to discuss, whether or not they be about a particular player's performance, or whether they're just a quirk of how the team performed, or just some more general stuff like from the Brighton game, I talked about how we've scored more set pieces than any other team in the league, that kind of stuff. The other thing I want to plug is obviously this show. It's a great show. Every week we get fantastic people on with their brilliant opinions, and it really sparks debate. So it's always really, really good to have people on. And thank you so much for coming on again this week, Joe and Ash. All that kind of stuff. Just want to do a quick shout out before we go. Just a quick shout out to Hamza, because Hamza came on this show in the middle of our pretty average patch.
and was saying, no, the underlying stats are going to say sooner or later Liverpool are going to hit top form. Even after the Spurs game, he was saying, don't panic. In a couple of weeks, everything's going to hit top gear, and suddenly people are going to be looking back and feeling really, really good about what's happened. And Hamza's prediction was proven absolutely bang on up until this point. So I think it's important to notice that someone like Hamza, who steadfastly throughout the last 3-4 months has been saying things are not as bad as people are making out to be, we need to keep the faith a bit and everything will be positive. And that on this pod, you know, on this pod quite often he was saying, you know, this is going to happen. And Hamza was proven absolutely spot on. So thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much, Leanne, for everything as ever. Thank you so much, Rash and Joe, for coming on. And yeah, we will be back next week, either slightly earlier or slightly later in the week next week, because obviously Liverpool have got a game next Wednesday. So yeah, we'll see you next week. Podcast Network.